Blog Talk Radio.
Stop dancing on your desk with the glow sticks. I don't think your boss likes that.
Right, he totally loves that.
Or maybe he does.
You think that's awesome when I do that. You know you do.
I was talking about you.
Oh! Well, my bad then, yeah.
Do you dance on desks often, Ginger, is the question.
Only if there are if there's a shoe shopping involved.
And are there pictures? Mm-hmm.
If there are, the person had better not share them.
Apparently, you put up some new pictures somewhere. Somebody messaged me over the weekend to say, hey, Ginger's got new pictures of herself. Oh, she's gorgeous.
I do?
I don't know. I didn't see any. Usually you tell me, I wasn't aware.
I think I posted maybe some pics and Easter stuff, but I didn't post any.
Oh, maybe they got confused. You know, the second life pictures can look real at a glance.
They can. They really, really, really can.
And then you glance again and be like, hey.
Took any pictures of me and posted them?
You might have a new stalkerific fan.
Ooh, you're going to tell me about this later.
I cannot. Nay, I cannot.
You need to tell me who the stalkerific fan is.
Nay, I cannot.
See, she is so mean to me.
I'm not mean. I'm just drawn that way. Good afternoon to you all. In case you didn't know where you were. You are listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
Yay! It's us again. We're here every day.
All day, every day. Well, not all day. Well, yeah, we are pretty much here all day.
Yeah.
Not live. It's not live, but still.
Yeah, pretty much, if you know where to find us at any given point of the day, we are here all day long.
Yeah,
all night long, all morning long, all day.
Somewhere around there. Wow. We got some mad love from our U.S. peoples now.
Oh, yeah?
I love when y'all love us all slow. And.
Yay. Ooh.
Sorry, it's a rainy day. My mind just, you know, that switch. As soon as it's raining, bam, the switch is on. Like all slow and stuff and
nice,
rare. We got a. Oh, Jay said he was the one dancing on the desk.
Was he? Oh, see, Jay, I'm gonna need some pictures.
And I'm gonna need for you to wear that skirt again when you do it.
Skirt again?
Well, I thought it was a girl, so apparently he had on a skirt.
Jay, is there something you need to be, you know, showing me?
His legs.
I want to see Jay's legs.
Rawr, Jay, hot legs. We're going to start calling Jay hot legs. Although he didn't want to play Assassin's Creed with me over the weekend, but that's fine. He was afraid he was going to get cut. That's all it was.
Jay, what I need to know, though, is do you wax?
Oh,
wax,
my God.
Jay, I need to know.
Not boxes of briefs, but do you wax?
No, because we all know the answer to that is commando.
Woo! That's the correct answer, but no. That is the proper answer, but that is not always the case.
Are we sure it's not hump day?
Yeah, well, it can be.
It wasn't a skirt. It was a kilt.
Woo! filming.
I'm going to need pictures of this. Yes, 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 I am, Jay.
Yes,
you know,
are.
As your future gamer wife, I need to see.
I want to give some love to the Geek Squad in the UK, who is for some reason trending on Google, but you got the word geek in your name. We're all behind you.
Yay!
Go, go, go. Apparently, let me make sure they're giving out addresses, but I'm not really sure. Yeah, it's supposed to be SNR service in-store operations or something like that. Oh, no, somebody got a job there. I'm telling somebody's job. I'm sorry, you. You can find them on Argyle Street in Glasgow in the UK. Congrats to the Geek Squad. World domination has begun officially when you are across the pond and here.
Nice.
MacBook Pro is also trending. I'm throwing in some trends because somebody said, why don't you guys do trending? Well, we will when it's actually something geeky. We could care less about the rest. Let me tell you why the MacBook Pro.
Why?
Actually, I got a story thanks to the people over at...
Oh, you do?
Yes, TechPrez. Woo, boy!
Yay!
Okay, so the new MacBook Pro is coming to a desk near you. Maybe, maybe not. Looks like it's going to be awesome. According to TechPrez, it has a 15-inch Retina display, and it's using USB 3.0. What is USB 3.0? Well, we can tell you this much. Ginger and I were having a discussion the other day. You know how some of you are still forced to have DSL, and you would like a USB port plug? The reason why you can't is because the drivers get corrupted when you use it. With 3.0, won't happen.
Oh, that's nice.
Hot. So that's the reason to upgrade. Of course, MacBook Pro is supposed to come with Intel's third-party generation Ivy Bridge processor. What else you can expect when it's released is a 15-inch. Did I say 15-inch Retina display? Yeah, I did.
Wow, brain has got a card.
15 inches. 15 inches. It won't feature the optical drive that it had before, which is supposed to make it slimmer. It's going to remain the same, of course, again, except that they said it'll be slimmed down. It's supposed to have
slimmed down.
It's lost some weight. It's supposed to also come along with a new MagSafe port, Thunderbolt ports, and an SD card reader. Hot, right? Apple said they're not replacing the Thunderbolt port for the 3.0. Instead, they will be running side by side, so you'll have both. It is said that the company has been testing the technology for a while, so the MacBook Pro will be the first to feature this in an Apple product, of course. Let me tell you a bit about the Ivy Bridge processor. Quad-core. Right. Hot. It's also going to come with an NVIDIA GT650M, and it'll have the new Mountain Lion operating system, which is supposed to be really good. I don't know, because I'm not touching it. You know, we do a lot of gaming. Stuff hides in games. We told you about that. Viruses and whatnot. Mac people, you're not immune. Okay, so the S also said it will not feature a power button, but it will be located on the keyboard. It's the same as with your MacBook Air. So those of you who have a MacBook, and it's being called the 9-to-5 Mac, Apple Intelligence, I love the ad, let us know if you like it, if you pick one up. I think I'm going to be getting a Toshiba in the next few weeks or HP, depending on.
I loved my Toshiba. Really, I did.
I'm concerned about the fact that Frankenstein is still more powerful. I think I've had Frankenstein for 2 years now, and Frankenstein is still more powerful than a lot of the newer laptops. I'm thinking, you know, I looked at the specs and I'm like, you should be light years ahead. I should be saying, okay, you know, Frankenstein, it's time to relegate you to, you know, text and Microsoft Word files. But I can't. I can't find anything faster. I really built me a badass computer, knock on wood. I hope she didn't die before I get the notebook.
I know. My poor baby is letting me know recently that she needs some love. And I feel so bad for her. It's like, hang in there. I will upgrade you before Christmas. I promise.
Jay's saying, sorry, you got to pay the subscription fee and pass age verification like everyone else. I got bills.
Jay, pictures or no sitting in the lap?
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh, lovely. You got served. What you got good for us? What you found?
Oh, what have I got? I have got some crazy people. All right, so Diablo 3 came out, yesterday?
Oh, Lord.
Something like that, right?
Yes.
Someone... All right, everybody put down your controllers. Don't break them. It's okay. Someone has already beaten Diablo 3. I'm pulling this from Game Polish.
MMO. The MMO.
The MMO? It's not. Is it an MMO?
Yeah.
Anyways, how long does it take to complete the single player campaign? No, it's a single player campaign in Diablo 3 on normal difficulty. The writer says, I have no idea, but it took level 32 barbarian Yoshi-chan 12 hours and 29 minutes to beat Blizzard's freshly released game.
And no cheat codes?
No cheat codes, looks like. Yoshi-chan, also his username on NeoGAF, explains how he accomplished the feat in such a short amount of time. Frenzy Baba with lots and lots of mobility and defensive skills, 415 DPS unbuffed, 700 DPS buffed. So where does he go from here? The next difficulty level, of course. Did you think he was going to quit playing Diablo 3? All right, guys. Wish me all good luck in Nightmare. He posted, going for it ASAP. It's actually starting to get warm in the bunker now that I think about it. While we can't prove it, only Blizzard can, we believe he is the first person in the world to finish the game. He probably deserves to be in the next edition of the Guinness Book of World Records. 12 hours and 29 minutes. Did you wear a diaper? I want to know. You wear a diaper. Were there any kind of stimulants involved? Do you have a girlfriend? 12 hours and 29 minutes.
Let me just say this about that. I am disappointed in the fact that the pictures that I'm seeing from the Diablo launch, our fellow girl gamers, please stop this. There, I see three girls dressed like angels and three dressed like devils, and I am like, stop it. You all missed the whole point of the girl gamer movement. You should have showed up, you know, just dressed like the guys. Why didn't you wear a robe? Why is this guy all covered up? Not that I want to see him.
Exactly.
But y'all have to stop this. Really.
Yeah, I would be the one going in there with my hair all kind of, you know, just pulled up because I just got out of the shower and probably in my yoga pants or something. And yeah.
Next time we have a launch here in Houston that I actually want to attend, I'm going in curlers and face cream, and I dare anybody to say anything to me.
That's hot.
I have that green face cream like you get from Mary Kay.
I like this. I'm going to go with Corey next time. Yes.
Just covered up. I'm gonna I don't have any cigarettes because I don't smoke, but I'm gonna put a lollipop in my mouth let him.
So
yeah, this is why it's gonna be a lollipop. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I know I already have enough of the congestion without the help of smoking, so no. All right, but I've got another story on Diablo. Can I go ahead and do it?
Yes.
There are not only some very sad people that they were not the first person to beat Diablo 3, but there are some very ticked off people. Diablo 3 server issues surface on launch day.
I saw it.
Yeah. While some people I know say that the launch of Diablo 3 has been pretty flawless, not everyone trying to log into Battle.net has had an easy time. Imagine that. Battle.net is a nightmare on the best of days. With the game launching in multiple territories, Blizzard had faced some serious stability challenges on the first day of Diablo 3's operation. Because the game is so popular, players are encountering full servers, game performance issues, and the error 37 message indicating the need to log in again. The error 37 message is basically a delay added to the login process by Blizzard to compensate for the high volume of logins. An official message posted on the Battle.net forums says, please note that due to high volume traffic, login and character creation may be slower than normal.
Why don't they just put a queue in that says you have, you know, so-and-so minutes to log in?
I don't know, because they were talking about doing this, you know, the whole 45-second wait to log in.
You could put a queue in. You're due to log in 10 seconds and have a little counter counting down. Bam, you're in, and people are not so upset. I mean, they may not like it, but they're less upset when they know what's going on.
Yeah, at least they know that they're in queue. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's all right, though, people. It's a game. It'll still be there, you know what, tomorrow and the next day and the next day and even the day after that.
I don't understand.
It'll be here this weekend and the next weekend.
I hope that some of you guys out there don't have fun with your girlfriends the way you play these games. Just saying. It's way too quick.
I don't know, man. That really depends. But
I don't understand. Some of you are just like, bam, way, way too fast. Just slow it down. The developer spent years making this. Enjoy it. Look around at it. It's a beautiful, beautiful work of art that you get to play around in.
Yeah, 12 hours and 27 minutes, or 29 minutes. Yeah, at least he's going back now, and he's going back through the harder mode. But still, I mean, you are rushing it. You are pushing.
What? Was there a prize to finish first or something?
No, but I think you got to,
nothing.
I don't know.
Nothing?
there was a virgin joke in there somewhere, I'm sure, but...
Yes, there is. We're going to walk away from it. We'll save it for Thursday night.
Yeah.
Anyway, apparently a lot of you out there are not trusting Facebook at all. As a result, the IP is, you know, kind of, people are making, there's a lot of rumbling, let's put it that way. They've raised the price of the IP, I heard, this morning, and on top of that, a lot of you are just saying, I don't trust you. I don't trust you, Zuckerberg. Their public offering will still be the largest and perhaps the most highly anticipated internet deal in history, but faced with expectations, Facebook is staring down some unnerving obstacles when it comes to key areas of monetization and growth, public distrust, and display advertising apathy. Mm-hmm. According to MSNBC this morning, 57% of... I'm sorry, actually, according to a new CNBC poll, 57% of Facebook users say they never click ads or other sponsored content when they use the site, with another 26% saying they hardly ever engage in such activity. Only 4% of users say they often click on ads, results that are only slightly better than the 2-3% click-through rate some experts consider the benchmark for effective banner ads. While the company makes money in part simply by displaying sponsored content, user clicks are a critical part of an advertiser's calculus when gauging how effective those ads are and how much they're willing to pay for them. In the first quarter, Facebook generated 82% of its $1.6 billion in revenue from advertising sales. In the company's online IPO pitch to retail investors, CFO David Ebsterman says that the company is working to make ads more relevant, more social, and more engaging as it looks to grow. And while Facebook has been able to decrease its reliance on sponsored content, down from 98% of the sales in 2009, the hopes of expanding the company's e-commerce footprint also faces public resistance, the poll shows. A majority of participants, 54%, said they wouldn't feel safe using the platform for financial transactions, like purchasing goods or services. We've said this before. I don't. Only 8% that they said that they would feel extremely or very safe in doing so. I don't know.
8%.
Yeah. It's bad when your core users don't even trust you.
I know, right?
And I gotta say, I'm not trusting him a whole lot either. I don't trust my Facebook a lot either. Actually, if you were watching this weekend, I really heavily migrated over to Google Plus. I'm sitting on my Google Plus page now. They're missing a few things. They still got a long way to grow, Google Plus does, but I do like it. I don't feel as inundated and overwhelmed and stuff.
Yeah. I started because they finally approved my account yesterday. Finally. So I started playing over there a little bit last night and this morning. So you're going to start seeing a lot more posts from me over there.
You see my shoes I put up on Google Plus?
I did.
In my picture of one of my avatars in Second Life, I may do a whole montage of them just to put up, like, all of them. I won't put all their names.
Yeah, because you don't want to be stalked. But yeah,
I don't want to be stalked, but I may put a picture or something up. But I got my picture of me modeling, but you can't see my face, my sunglasses. I actually have sunglasses like that. I just realized looking at my avatar. On my Google Plus page, if you're on Google Plus, go over and look up Corey Roberts. You'll see my avatar. I actually have pink sunglasses, exactly like the ones my character is wearing, and I had my hair cut like that. It's since grown out, but I think I'm taking this a little too far.
Yeah.
You agree? I'm taking a little too far.
Maybe. I don't know. I can't say. Right now, wait, hold on. I got to look.
Well, your avatar looks like you. Your avatar looks like you. Yours and Snow's.
Since I updated her?
Yeah, still looks like you. And Snow's, y'all look
almost
identical.
Because I wondered about that, because, I mean, I didn't make that shape. A friend of mine did. And I was thinking the entire time, I was like, are you looking at a picture of me?
Looks just like you. Weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but no, I like it. But no, what I was going to say, there we go. Of course, I have the red hair at the moment in real life, all that fun stuff. I actually am wearing a hairdo right now that I did to imitate my avatar in Second Life. Oh, yes. I am that silent. Of course, you know, my avatar is not going to be in pajamas right now, but hey.
Mine might be. I had one that wore pajamas for a year, one of my avatars, and ponytails for a whole year. Real time, not game time.
That is crazy, woman.
Hey, I just wander around looking at stuff. I didn't need to change clothes.
This is true. All right, so Frogster tries to address Ellen race censorship controversy. In a lengthy interview with Eurogamer, Frogster's Lucille Lemurel, I hope I said your name right, tries to explain why European publishers censored the scantily clad Ellen race in Terra. In South Korea, the game features this female race in skimpy outfits revealing their panties, but in Europe and the U.S. versions of the game, panties are replaced with less revealing shorties, you know, like the boy shorts.
Oh, because that's way better.
Last month, European publisher Frogster said that the change was put in place to keep unsavory users, they didn't say it, but they meant pedophiles, from playing the game. Yeah, that's not going to help. Frogster has had to deal with a lot of complaints about the game lately, the most recent being the censorship of blood. Having rectified that problem, the company now has to deal with a fan base angry at them over subtle changes to the MMO. Frogster's Lucille Lemurel tries addressing the latest controversy in an interview. So what does she say? She says, the interviewer asks, in late April you issued a statement saying these changes were made because Ellen could have attracted to the game unsavory users. What does that mean? Lemurel answered, it's a matter of point of view. We did not want to implement the Ellens as they were in the original version because if you look at the forums and how users usually react to this race, it's either people offended by the way they look, or it's people trolling saying, hey, I'm Pedo Bear. This is the kind of behavior we want to avoid at all costs. We know unless we remove the race entirely from the game, which would have caused an even bigger uproar, we could not avoid having such comments, but we wanted to reduce the amount of comments because some people are offended or some people have a different opinion. Lemurel goes on to say that even though some players have changed out the texture for the Ellen race using the Korean files, and in doing so have violated the game's terms of service, Frogster has no plans to go after them. All right, so this is coming from GamePolitics.com, and there is a video that you can actually watch so that you can see what they mean. It shows you the censored version and the uncensored version of the class. More or less, it's a smallish girl avatar. I wouldn't say like young girl, but, you know, late teens, early 20s, maybe is what they were going for. Anyways, she's got ears, she's got a tail, and she's running around in skimpy, I don't know, skirt, dresses, jackets, things that barely cover her bottom. And then in the uncensored version, you can see panties, which, you know, it's not like G-string or thong or anything. It's panties. And in the American version, it's boy shorts, which, you know, is just got a little bit more cloth to it than panties would.
Well,
I don't see.
I don't even know what was the point. If you're not going to put the men in the underwear, why put the women in it?
Exactly.
Come up with a better reason than it's for guys. Girls play games. And in a game nowadays with women now being way over 50% of the gaming population worldwide, it is now time for you to stop doing things like this that usually alienate the women. It's not that we don't like it.
Honestly, I wouldn't play this race. I mean, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with this race. It's just, I can't even say it's distasteful to me. I just wouldn't play it because I know how men react.
Exactly, and that's always the crux of the situation is
yeah.
that a lot of male developers don't get it. If you put this in, it's not even that women look at it and go, ew, disgusting. Automatically, our brain, unless you happen to like girls, shuts off and we go, oh, this is not for me, and I'm going to go play this game, and you just lost money.
I have enough issues when I log into the games with guys being like, oh, my God, it's a girl. She plays games, and can I see your boobs? Dude, I'm going to send you some boobs in a second. You ain't going to like them.
Oh.
Dude, seriously, some guy asked me the other day in Second Life for boob pictures. I went to Google. I looked up Tub Girl. I uploaded Tub Girl pictures and sent him those.
Dude.
Yeah, you know what Tub Girl is, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can guess from how it sounds.
It's not good. It's not good. And if you've never seen it, you should go Google it just so you can say you've seen it.
You hurt me.
It's not good.
Stop hurting me, Ginger. Stop it.
Okay. This is why you do not tick off a troll. I will troll you back. Even better.
All right, let's move it along because Ginger's getting that edge in her voice. She's about to go up in the high register. Ginger's going to restrain her. Just so you all know, you people in New York are having a good day. Hopefully you're walking down the street and you listen to your Gamer Girls radio and you are feeling all superior to the rest of the nation because there is a significant week-long event occurring in New York City, according to VentureBeat. And they're saying you can bet that Mayor Michael Bloomberg will make a showing at some point. So it's no surprise that they were told last night that Bloomberg had a press conference scheduled for this morning at Internet Week New York. At the event's swanky Soho headquarters, Bloomberg announced a new online map that made in new, called the Made in New York Digital Map that makes it very easy to find the city's tech startups and job opportunities. Hot, right? Given that the new NYC startups and incubators are seemingly popping up every day, the map will be useful, a very useful way for some of you to make sense of everything tech going on in the city. And it also looks to be a killer tool for landing a startup gig. Yes. Bloomberg is quoted as saying, creative people want to be around other creative people. Creativity is driving the tech industry just as it is fashion, entertainment, and other industries in the city. From the map site, the Made in New York digital map is a visual testament to the vibrant state of New York's digital industry, showing a powerful constellation of over 600 homegrown startups, investors, and co-working spaces across five boroughs. Wow, that's impressive. You can browse by neighborhood, you can review job postings, or add your own startup to the digital landscape. The Made in New York map is a living resource that reflects New York City's dynamic innovation ecosystem. Wow. Bloomberg also pointed to the map as one way to encourage more engineers to come to New York City. That will also become less of a problem once New York's new tech schools are up and running in a few years. Cornell and Technion are working on building a tech school in Roosevelt Island, and NYU is targeting a new tech campus in downtown Brooklyn as well.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
Right. The Made in New York map was created by Internet Week New York in conjunction with the Mayor's Office of Media and Entertainment and the NYC Economic Development Corporation. Stern credits Commissioner Catherine Oliver with coming up for the Catherine Oliver for coming up with the original map idea. Excuse me. Took a woman. This is amazing. Just yesterday, when I grabbed Little Miss Baby Natrix and I was asking her about computer class in schools, and I also called a friend of mine who's a third grade teacher, one of my oldest and dearest friends, and do you know they don't teach the kids things about computers? They kind of stick them on there.
Really?
There's no formal class with the way that our society is today. There really is no formal class for them where they sit them down and they say, okay, this is how you use Word. This is what Twitter is. This is what Facebook is. This is what, you know, this is. This is proper internet etiquette. Don't type in caps. Stuff that we all take for granted that we learned in the process of being on the internet. And this, again, goes back to my theory of some people, the younger people out there, never had anybody tell them that you don't do this, you do this. So that's why they just kind of get on the internet and do whatever. They don't know any better. A lot of these people are, I dare say, under the age of 20. People you see that are trolls are usually under the age of 20. And it's because they weren't told by anybody. Their parents aren't computer savvy. Who's going to tell them? And you're turning these people loose on the internet, and they end up growing up to become hackerlicious. You know, they pick up a few tricks, but they pick up all the wrong ones. Kind of like drugs. You know, this is called the digital streets. The internet is the digital streets, man.
And I didn't really pick up too much hacker stuff.
Yeah, you have. We all have. We don't talk about it because we don't want to share. We're not going to teach you bad things here. Well, we teach you some bad things.
I know enough to protect myself a little bit.
Exactly. Digital defense. Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's why I'm so waiting for that new Mojang, whatever game to come out with the hacking.
Is Mojang the one with the hacking game?
Yes. They're the creators of Minecraft, so yes.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that. I hope you guys do what I've been asking because my programming skills suck or I would have done it. The one I told you from Uplink Hacker Elite where they have the open source code and nobody's grabbed it to make a hacking game. Come on. You could just go all cross-platform. That's a cross-platform game there. Your cell phone, your iPad, your PC, your Xbox. And you should be able to have an account on all of them. Oh, man, I would love that.
I know.
I would just be in the DMV just yelling at people, I've got you. Hack my computer.
I know. I can't wait. I was telling somebody about this the other day, and they're like, do you really think a game can teach you to hack? I was like, oh, I totally think a game can teach you to hack.
I don't think it's going to be like that.
Well, no, but I think.
I hope not anyway.
Well, they were talking about that players could upload their own codes to the game.
They're probably going to
and fires is whatnot. And then they wouldn't do anything about it. You had to learn to protect yourself from them.
Yeah, but it's probably something pre-created. You know what I mean? They wouldn't give you real
Oh, man, they should.
No, Ginger, you know that's bad.
You know how amazing that would be? Do you know how quickly code would evolve that way?
Ginger, that would be anarchy. You cannot teach everybody how to code. This is the same thing I was just telling you about.
That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to vote no, because I could see the bad in that. We teach some five-year-old how to hack a bank. And then next thing you know, he's got all the money and he's buying cookies for his friends at school and the mom is in trouble. He's in jail.
See, that's the thing. You're teaching everybody to hack. So
no.
Everybody ought to be learning to defend themselves.
They wouldn't, Ginger. You know, everybody's not good. You got the mindset of everybody's going to do nice things with it. They wouldn't.
Oh, I wasn't thinking nice things. I was thinking, you know, you're going to get hacked. You're going to learn your lesson and you're going to learn to be bigger and better and badder.
Well, everybody's not us. No, and at their computer 24/7. So again, those are the people that would get in trouble. They may know how to defend themselves at a certain point, but it won't be right away. They're not going to be the ones playing it. We are.
Yes, that would be. Y'all would never see me again. I would get an IV and I'd get a diaper.
You sound like me with SL. The minute they say, "Okay, it's 3D immersive. You put on this suit." Okay, y'all, I'm gone.
It was nice knowing y'all.
Hear me? I'm tapping my vein. Go ahead, put it in. Let's do it. I ain't coming out.
Oh, my God.
I'm all for the Matrix. Go ahead, put me in. Put me in.
I will be your human battery. Just give me 3DSL.
Exactly. I got no problems doing it. You just need to let me know. Anyway, back on this New York thing. New York is going to, I don't know, Silicon Valley in California and Austin. Y'all going to have to step up. This is a big one, what they've done. And if this company has not signed an exclusive contract with New York, they better be wary because they're going to come down here and do it. They're going to go over to California and do it, and it's going to be lovely and luscious.
Right.
Got danger.
What have I got? I've got Microsoft fighting back. Microsoft funds anti-BitTorrent technology company.
I did that one yesterday, woman.
Oh, did you do that one yesterday? All right. Well, then, never of the mind. People ignore me. I don't know what I'm talking about.
She knows what she's talking about. Sometimes.
It's I was talking about something.
Sometimes,
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes we get so much news, people. It's hard to keep up with what we read and what came out after. All right. So I got a couple of short ones. Official Battlefield 3 servers return. I told y'all about this last week. It was reported that the official DICE and EA servers had disappeared from the server list for Battlefield 3, replaced by servers leased by players for $30 a month, after some public outcry over losing access to vanilla servers from EA for fans. EA and developer DICE have decided to bring some of those official servers back online. That's a very good decision. Speaking to GamesBeat, an EA representative told the publication, "You should see DICE-hosted servers up today. I do not have the exact percentage or the number of servers, but we will continue to monitor this to make sure all players are having the best possible gameplay experience." A quick search by GamesBeat reveals that 170 official DICE Battlefield 3 servers are now back online and ready for play. I want to say the other day, last week when we read this, there were no official servers left. They were all gone. So it's good that they brought them back. I mean, I understand that they're making a buck renting out the servers, $30 a server. You know, that'll add up quick. But on the other hand, I don't want to have to play with chumps who are like, "This is my server. You'll play my way or not play at all." Screw you.
I was kind of opposed to it last week, but at the same time, I get that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I understand if you pay for your server, you should be able to use it, but I'm still worried about the very thing we were just talking about, ironically, just a second ago, is people hacking. Mm-hmm. Are you going to allow them to upload whatever they want to the server? Is it going to be fully their server, or is there some type of limitations because they've not told us? You know, what
yes.
can you do?
Yes, exactly, because I know with a lot of the games that I play where you can have your private servers, clans would not buy their private servers so they can run the hacks that they want to run, and that annoys me.
Yes. Bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right, so that one was kind of short, so can I go ahead and do another one?
But of course, darling. Please.
All right. Nexon races onto Facebook with Kart Rider Dash.
Wow.
Kart Rider, yeah, huh?
I said, wow.
Yeah. Kart Rider Dash offers same exciting real-time racing experience of the original title with social features. Nexon Korea Corporation continues. All right, this is translated very badly, people. Like I said, it's from Korea, so forgive me. Nexon Korea Corporation continues to speed into the global social gaming market with today's open beta launch of Kartrider Dash for Facebook. Kartrider Dash delivers players the same high-speed racing action as the original worldwide hit Kartfighter, but with the added social networking features, so you can spam other people's pages. Anyways, Kartrider Dash is a racing SNG social network game that will extend the reach of the Kartrider franchise into the social space. Last year, Nexon had successfully launched a mobile version of the franchise, Kartrider Rush. If you want to join in on the fun, there is a link. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to make you go get it over at GameAndAtrix.com this morning. You can use the Kartrider Dash's matchmaking system. Players are able to start the game faster and easier with just one simple click. The game also provides optimized features for a social platform such as friend invitations, sending gifts, posting game records, and weekly rankings. The game balance has also been adjusted for the social platform, such as the faster charge of booster gauge and easier control of attack items. All right, so, like I said, there's more about this. If you want to go read it, it's over on GameAndAtrix.com this morning. Head over there, check it out.
All right, I have an interesting story we just got. It's kind of...
Uninteresting?
Well, it is an interesting. I was trying
an interesting.
I was trying to speak proper English, but, you know, my Texas accent kicked in. That reminds me. I have a friend who grew up in a number of different places. Remember I told you about this guy?
Uh-huh, yeah.
He has the most messed up accent I have ever heard in my life.
But he does, too.
It is a Texas twang with an Aussie undertow and a UK thing and a Scottish all mixed together. I can't even mimic this. And I'm good at mimicking accents, as we all know.
You are.
I cannot do his. And every time he calls, I cannot understand a word he's saying or who he is when I pick up the phone. I'm like, hello, and it's like, hello. It's like, who is this? What's wrong with your accent? It's like, I know, I'm sorry. It's like, dude, pick a country, dude. Pick a country.
Yes, exactly.
He's going to cut me, by the way, for saying that. All right, so my next story I pick comes to us from people at Honda Motors. Yes, Honda sent us something lovely. It's a new personal mobility device that they've come up with. It is kind of, well, it's very techie, kind of. Again, it's called the Unicub. And it's designed for harmony with people. I don't know what harmony with people is, but they sent it. It looks kind of like in a weird way, like a unicycle, but it's motorized. And I know you all like...
A motorized unicycle?
That's what it looks like. And I do have pictures I'm putting up as we speak.
Yes, I'm going to need some pictures. Motorized unicycle. I may need that.
It's supposed to feature Honda's proprietary balance control technology and the world's first omnidirectional driving wheel system called the Honda OmniTraction Device Drive System. These technologies are supposed to allow the rider to control speed, move in any direction, turn and stop, all simply by shifting your weight. Right? Hot, right? Since the rider can freely move forward, backward, or side to side and diagonally, you can also quickly and easily maneuver among other people. So I do have some pictures. They sent over some video, but you know we don't bother with the video. We're still fighting with YouTube over some stuff of them trying to tell us some stuff is not ours. If I'm in it, it's mine. If I put it up and it's not labeled somebody else, it's mine, YouTube. Anyway, but I think this is very cool, especially for some of the older people. When you see it, you'll get, you know, the whole gist of it, why it's amazing and why it's techie, because it is picking up on the motion. There's no, you know, you see the older people, or not just older people, but people who have, you know, they use the little chairs or the scooters and things to get around.
Mm-hmm.
This is much smaller and I think much more maneuverable. It fits into smaller spaces. I mean, it really is about the size of a unicycle. It's very small. I love this. I can't wait till I get old so I can get one. I'm just going to mow people down.
Can't wait till I get old so I can get one.
Well, you know, I could get one now, but it's not, you know, they'd be like, we've seen you walk. There's nothing wrong with you. But if I get one of these and, you know, I'm hitting around 75, I just lean forward and be like, you know, now old ladies can mow you down in the street. Really?
I'd be totally all right. You jelly ain't. I'd be driving circles around in my little motorized unicycle.
Now the old ladies can rush outside when somebody's on their lawn and, you know, you could throw some. You can actually catch them now if this is.
That's nice. I like that.
I can't wait till I get this. Anyway.
Well, Oh, my God. I'm so picturing you doing this, too.
I would. I plan on being a very hypersexualized and ornery old lady, so you'll never know which one you'll get on any given day.
I can so see you. Come here, Mr. Pizza Boy.
Come here, Pizza Boy. You want your tip?
I got something for you.
I got a tip for you.
Come inside. I promise.
Then look, you don't want your tip? Well, here, bam! take this can of beans.
I like it. See, this is why I love my Corey.
Hey, I'm getting old gracefully. There you go.
I'm gonna go down screaming. No thanks.
I don't mind at all. I don't mind not one bit.
Well, you know, on the other hand, I was talking to somebody the other day. I was hoping once I hit 30, I would have outgrown the little girl voice.
No.
It's not happened.
No.
I figured at some time my voice would mature, but, you know, so maybe by 40.
No.
We'll see. No?
No. That's not going to go away. I'm sorry to tell you, Ginger, till you hit about 60, and then it's just going to sound like a raspy little old girl's voice, and it's going to get higher. I'm sorry.
So there's that to look forward to.
Yep. But you'll be a cute old lady. You'll be unassuming and non-threatening. And therein lies your ability to throw cans at the boys. They're going to be like, oh, Miss Ginger, you need me to carry your groceries? Boy, bam.
I was hanging around with somebody that I know in real life the other day. And I was talking to them. And I was like, yeah, you know, and I'm 30. I was so happy with that. And they're like, you're not 30. Yes, I am.
I don't think any of us look our real ages here. I think I do.
A little ID and everything. Okay.
I think I look close to my real age most days, but not often. I'm still getting the teenagers outside. Yo, mom, what's up? Be like, boy. Oh no, to be your mama.
It's hot, just so y'all know.
Not all the time. I have a good day or two every now and again.
That's like a prerequisite for working here is that you have to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
All of us are. Even our mommy blogger, hot.
She is.
She is so hot.
Get cut though.
All right, so the Secret World Beta Weekend number 2 begins this Friday, May 18th. I know. Where was our invite for the first one? FunCom. I'm looking at you. I'm coming with my baseball bat. The story continues in King's Mouth with all new characters, storylines, and missions. FunCom teams up with the major websites all over Europe for a massive key giveaway. What about the U.S.? Huh? Come on.
Y'all have got the ginger all up in.
Totally. FunCom is excited to announce that the next beta weekend for its upcoming modern-day massively multiplayer online game, The Secret World, that apparently they don't want us to play, will start on May 18th at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and 6 p.m. CET and run until Sunday, May 20th at 11:59 and 8:59 a.m. CET. Again, that they apparently don't want us to play. During this beta weekend, players get to pick up where they left off with the same character they played during the first beta weekend that we didn't get to play. As they get to meet all new characters in King's Mouth, each with their own unique missions and storylines that we would have liked to have met as well.
Oh, my God. Let me go ahead and send another email.
Best way to gain access to the beta weekend is to pre-order and scream at them on air. The Secret World, this grants access to all beta weekends leading up to launch that we have not been invited to.
FunCom
is also teaming up with major websites all over Europe this week to conduct a massive giveaway of keys for this weekend only, again, that we've not been included in. So this is a great way for gamers to have a look at the game before pre-ordering that we've not been invited to.
Oh. I have taught you well, young Padawan.
FunCom, seriously. Ginger, GameAndAtrix.com. You know, GameAndAtrix at GameAndAtrix.com, right?
Yes. With no webmaster.
Webmaster, GameAndAtrix.com. Send us invites. Send us keys.
Wow.
I'm very upset at y'all. I don't think you understand. We've been telling everybody about your game. We've been just totally amping everybody up, and then we didn't even get so much as a key. Come on. See, and people want to play with us, and we're not there. You are depriving your people of fun because you did not invite us.
Oof. I don't even know what to say, y'all. I'm just scared. I'm scared. Is that what y'all feel like when y'all talk to me and I go off mountain? Is that what that feels like?
I love you, Fun Tom.
Why won't you work? Why you not work?
FunCom, why you no work?
See? Okay, well, let me move along before I ginger attack again. Man, my throat's having some issues again today. I forgot what I was going to say. I suck. Okay, well, Zynga. Let's talk about Zynga for a minute. Woo, Zynga. Zynga has bought a new company, as if they needed more help, called Wild Needle. Their acquisition spree is continuing, according to VentureBeat, this time with mobile startup Wild Needle. The new buyout has been estimated at around $3.8 million. I know all those people are like, I'm going on vacation today. That's what they're saying. The startup was, or actually Wild Needle, was started up in 2010 by former Playdom co-founder Rick Thompson and has been seeing some success on iOS devices with their Shoptown Hero titles, which I did not like very much. While the game did not make fun of a splash in turn, make much of a splash in terms of downloads, the takeover by Zynga seems to be more about talent acquisition than IP ownership. The idea of a mobile first studio was a major selling point to investors back in 2010, with Thompson proclaiming that the team would be putting their efforts into creating even more ambitious mobile titles. Thompson, who looked to add several managing partners to the board of Wild Needle, has become rather notorious for creating talented teams and accepting buyouts. His big hit with Playdom back in 2010 netted over $763 million from Disney. He later saw his investment in Funzio turn a major profit when Gree bought the firm out for $210 million. He is already rich. Is he single? Zynga, of course, has been scrambling to find bigger and better talent. According to GI.biz, the games that they've developed have been acquired, and they're starting to see a decrease in daily and monthly active users. OMG Pop's Draw Something has been bleeding users, while Zynga is reportedly looking to launch a sequel to Farmville. Please do not. And it also comes via TechCrunch. Please,
and
no more.
A sequel to Farmville?
Yeah, I don't. Just. Why is everybody missing this? Gosh. I'm going to have to find somebody to work on this with me. Anybody, if they want to work on a project with me, you can program, do some iOS programming. This is getting on my nerves.
Yeah.
I don't really want to program. I prefer the design and to make things. I found I have a new love for assets, thanks to Ginger, making assets and things. But,
I'm not going to. Real thing for assets.
Yeah, Ginger. Horace wants to know if, I don't know what we were talking about, but it's in reference to something. Maybe it's a conversation you two were having. So will it create new code for generations to come? Will it create chaos? Or will it create,
I think he's asking about the Mojang game. Mojang, whatever. That game.
Well, no, I told you, chaos. This would be chaos.
I don't know.
You just used to think that everybody would get along and we'd be happy. I don't think so. We know our people are bad. Just look at Anonymous. There's your proof. Anonymous can't decide whether they're good or bad. They do something good, then they turn around and do something bad.
Hmm.
We're going after the child pornographers. Oh, by the way, we took down your PlayStation. Where are you? By the way, we're going after this murderer. And, oh, by the way, now your Xbox is not working. Pick a side.
I know, right?
And I can appreciate some chaotic neutralism sometimes, but not when it affects me directly.
Go after my neighbor, that's fine. Go after mine, oh, hell no.
And
I totally just pulled out the southern accent for that hell no, so yeah.
Oh, hell no. Yeah, I did that wrong.
All right. GamePolitics.com again. 75% of rural residents think broadband improves quality of life. Amen. According to a new survey from NetAmerica Alliance that polled 800 rural residents, 3 out of 4 respondents said that having access to high-speed internet is important to maintaining their quality of life. The contents of the survey was revealed to Telecompetitor. 9 out of 10 respondents also said that local access to high-speed internet access is economically vital. 2/3 of those polled also said that having internet communications and access to entertainment online helped play a major role in living outside a metro area. 3 in 5 respondents also said that they would subscribe to 4G services if they were made available in their area. Yes. Half of respondents said that the internet is important to them when they are not at home. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Some other interesting data from the survey, 92% of respondents prefer to do business locally, 89% think it is a responsibility to make their communities a better place, 72% of rural residents ages 30 to 49 on a laptop, while 73% on a desktop PC. 59% of rural residents 65-plus years old own a desktop, while 44% own a laptop. And interest in 4G services is fueled by people that want faster browsing and download speeds and improved content streaming. Yes, because, you know, I live out in the boonies, and I have one of these old satellite dishes in my backyard. It's not hooked up.
That's right.
I'm actually using it for shade for a garden. Works really well.
Oh, my God. Kendra, that is so fallen earth is what that is.
Hey, we live in Texas. The sun is hot. It will burn your plants in no time.
You know what? There's a reason why when they made that game, they picked the southern states.
Yes, because, man.
We're the warmest. We're the warmest. The apocalypse happens, we're probably going to survive. They're not.
I know, everybody else, you know, it's summer, everybody wants to get outside. It hits summer here, everybody goes inside.
That's why we're going to survive. When the blast happens,
yeah.
We'll be behind a nice closed door, our brick homes are underground.
Seriously, I mean, all my windows are sealed to help keep my air in, bought air down here, by the way, for AC.
Again, when the radiation is coming, we're all sealed up inside.
Exactly. I've got the whole little HEPA filters going on because, as you all can tell, my allergies are horrible.
Anybody who lives down here has terrible allergies. Ugh.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to be good. The rest of y'all are going to grow, you know, an arm out of your forehead or something, but I'll be good.
wrong. All right. So I got a very interesting story I picked up from Huffington Post this morning. Very interesting story. A new company called Glove One was created by artist Brian Serra as part of his master's thesis project is a mobile phone that is worn as a mechanical glove. Right? I just put this up on Google Plus. If you're following us on Google Plus, take a look. If you're not, you should be. The Iron Man-like device, yes, it does look like it came from Iron Man. It's so cool. Allows users to dial out using buttons located on the underside of the finger attachments and speak to callers through the receiver on the pinky. So you can be like Dr. Evil. How do you speak into the receiver, you may be wondering? Well, you make a U shape with your hand, just like you do when you tell people to call me. Some of you younger people don't get that reference. That used to be how phones looked. So that's what that means, by the way. I had to explain that to somebody that was like 16 the other day. Why do people do this when they say call you? It's because that's the way the phones used to work, darling. Okay.
Well, I walked through an antique shop the other day. They had a rotary phone, and that was like...
Wow. That's an antique. Amazing.
I know. I was like, wait a minute. Come on. Those are not antique. I am not antique.
Okay. So their video, of course, if you can find it, that I just put up on Google Plus, Sarah demonstrates how to use a prototype from inserting a SIM card to successfully dialing out. He also created the device out of parts from a 3D printer for his thesis product. Amazing. This is a guy, girls, grab him up. He's single. He's out of college. He's making something amazing. His thesis project was called Gadgets for Remembering the Future. He goes to the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee Peck School of Arts. He explained the motivation behind his glove, and I'll give you a little bit of his quote because we're about to run out of time. This is on his own website, which I'll give to you before we get off of here. He says, Glove One is a wearable mobile communication device. It presents a futile and fragile technology with which to augment ourselves, a cell phone, which in order to use, one must sacrifice their hand. It is both the literalization of Sherry Turkle's notation of technology as a phantom limb. He says, and how we augment ourselves through an ambivalent relevance on it, ambivalent reliance on it, as well as a celebration of the freedom we seek in our devices. Emotional investment becomes physical as the functionality of the device depends on the dysfunctionality of the wearer. All that boils down to people is you saying, you got a cell phone, you had to give up your hand to use it most of the time, and basically with this, you get your use of your hand back, and you can talk, and you know, not have to do the whole head to the side thing, you know, where you're cramping your neck. I think it's amazing. His glove is not currently in production, but interested users can sign up on his website to receive updates on how to make one of your own. Dude, don't do that. Patent it. He says, that's only if you want to turn your entire hand into a mobile phone without all the useful smartphone apps. Glove One is, of course, the latest in a long line of wearable tech options. Google's Project Glass prototype, which we did tell you about a few months ago, made waves in April, is arguably the most highly anticipated concept in development. Other geeky watches range from Android-powered watches. We told you about another one here that's on Kickstarter you can support and get one. Also, they have wristbands that monitor health stats, which is nice. And there's, if you look around, you can find some other gadget sunglasses that interact with your app icons. What's the other one here? We got a couple more here. They're taking forever to load. Anyway, we'll tell you more about it. Actually, I'll pin some of these for you on our Pinterest page. If you're not following us on Pinterest, you should be. Yes, we expand. We're everywhere.
Yes, everywhere. All right, so we got a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we got about four.
I've got plenty of time for this one then. Man implants magnets to keep iPod at the ready. I'm pulling this from the Yahoo blog section. I think I actually found it in the tech section. I meant to mention it a couple of days ago, but then I forgot. If Magneto, the arch nemesis of X-Men, was a tattooed hipster, he might look a lot like this guy. Dave Herbin, a Dynasty tattoo artist from Newfield, New Jersey, see there's happy at the issue, surgically implanted four magnets into his wrists. Why? Well, basically, it's a cool, or at least unique, way to hold his iPod Nano in place without a pesky wristband. They even have a video. They say you can check out a video of the process below, produced by Kaleidoscope Creative, but he warned there will be blood. Back in March, it was revealed that Nokia had issued patents for vibrating tattoos, which could be permanently attached to a person's body and used to alert them when they were receiving a phone call or text message. Oh, my God. Hold on. I got to click on that. That I got to click on. Is it going to load? It's going to load. All right. So cell phone company
Wow.
Nokia issued a patent for a material that could be attached to a human skin and would vibrate to alert the wearer of an incoming call or text message. The Wall Street Journal reports the patent application filed by Nokia last September would create a material attachable to skin, the material capable of detecting a magnetic field and transferring a perceivable stimulus to the skin, wherein the perceivable stimulus relates to the magnetic field. Wow. In other words, it would be an attachable tattoo that would vibrate in response to a signal from an incoming phone call or text message.
I don't think we need that, honestly. I would be more apt to use the thing I just pinned, the e-bra. That's another thing. You can find us on Pinterest under Gamer Girl Matrix. See how we ran all that together?
You know, a couple of years back, I saw a bracelet that had these cool little, I don't know, beads or something. Anyways, when your phone rang, they lit up.
Okay, now
I like that. I like that so much better than the idea of tattooing yourself. So I do want a tattoo.
I like a tattoo, but I'm going to pass on that. Wow. I say again, wow. The tattoo is a little extreme. I'm sorry.
One of these days, I will have a tattoo.
I'm finding all kinds of cool stuff. We're pinning up on our Pinterest. Make sure you pop by. Hi.
All right, I'm going to tweet this, so any of y'all want to look at this, you can check it out. If you happen to get one, take pictures, let me know.
And I want one of these e-bras, so if you happen to get one of those, don't take pictures, but do let us know, because, you know, we
have
some
first. Or if you do, ginger at gamingatrix.com.
Yeah, her and Snow will like that. They'd like that.
Yes, Blaster might as well.
I do forget. Am I the only one here that's normal? Yeah, that is laughable. Ooh, that is laughable. Okay, so it's time for us to go. We will be back later on tonight, I hope, with Pixinista. There's a storm moving into my area, so y'all pray. Ooh. Pray. If you like digital fashion, we'll probably be talking about this e-bra business and the bracelets and stuff, and other things we like to talk about during Pixinista. I don't think we have a set topic this week, so we may just ramble, but it's always fun either way. Again, us here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can find us at GamerGirlsRadio.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, and everywhere in between. We'll see you guys later.
Yay!
Jay, go ahead and clear your desktop.
Ginger. Later, boys and girls.
Glad I was you. So-and-so.